So moving right along in Rosh Hashanah, we're on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. I'm not sure if that's where everyone's up to, but that's where I'm up to. So we have the sugya about Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. By way of introduction to that very interesting sugya, let's start with a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini, we are told, Vayomer El Aaron, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Aaron HaKohen, Kach Lecha Egel Ben Bakar Lechatas, I want you to take an Egel Ben Bakar as a Chatas, Va'ayel Ola. Timimim v'hakrev l'fnei Hashem. I want you to take an egel and an ayel and bring that as a karban l'fnei Hashem. Rashi writes over there, why was Aaron HaKohen told specifically of all animals, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, only bring an egel ben bakar l'chatas? Says Rashi, lohodialo, that was to inform Aaron HaKohen, shemechaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-yidei egel zeh. That even though Aaron HaKohen is the one who made the terrible mistake on his madrega, but Aaron HaKohen made the terrible mistake of feeding the egel to the Jewish people, and getting them somehow to go ahead with the plan of making the egel, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to tell him that he was forgiven for that terrible mistake, and therefore he tells him you should bring an egel ben bakar as a chatas. Now the kasha is as follows. The kasha is on that, many mefarshim ask, our Gemara says that a kohen gadol does not wear big day zahav when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, he only wears big day lavan. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch, when he talks about this mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol changing his clothing and only wearing Big Day Lavan Bifnim and Big Day Zav Bachutz, the Minchas Chinuch writes that if the Kohen Gadol mistakenly mixes up the Avodah and wears the Big Day Zav when he goes inside to the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, says the Minchas Chinuch, he's Chayiv Misa B'Day Shamayim, and he was Mevatel the Avodah Yom Kippurim. So that's how seriously we take this. It's not just a nice idea. This is the Avodah. This is exactly how it's meant to be done. So there are two reasons given why we find that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to wear Big Day Lavan specifically in L'Lefnai V'Lefnim and not the Big Day Zav. So our Gemara says very simply because En Kateger Nasa Saneger, because that's going to be a reminder of the Zav that was used in the Egel, and that's going to be a problem. However, the Yerushalmi says a different reason. The Yerushalmi tells us that the reason why a Kohen Gadol does not wear Big Day Zav Mi Bifnim is because the same way it's Sheirah Shamala, the same way in Shamayim, they all wear, so to speak, white garments, white begadim. So too, when he's going Lefnai V'Lefnim, that's like a other world experience. He should also wear only Big Day Lavan and not Big Day Zav. That's what the Yerushalmi says. But the Babli, as we know, tells us it's because of En Kateger Nasa Saneger. That's what the Midrashim tell us also. That's the simple reason we've all heard. Now, if we know En Kateger Nasa Saneger, so the Mefarshim asks, so then how could it be that Aaron HaKohen is told to bring specifically the Egel? Aren't you concerned that maybe the Egel is going to be En Kateger Nasa Saneger? You're the one who made the mistake of the Egel. Now God is telling you specifically, only bring a Egel Ben Bakar Lachatos. Isn't that the thing that you did wrong? Isn't that a problem of En Kateger Nasa Saneger? So that's the kasha that many Mefarshim are bothered with. So the Achronim give a teretz. That's a very fancy teretz, but it's connected to our Gemara. The Achronim give a teretz as follows. They say, well, there's a major distinction between the story of wearing Big Day Lavan or Big Day Zav, Lifnai V'Lifnim, and our case of Aaron HaKohen who's told to offer an egel. Why? Because if the Kohen Gadol is going to put on the Big Day Zav and wear those Lifnai V'Lifnim, that's going to be a kateger nasa saneger. You're trying to defend the Jewish people, and while you're going to defend the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, you're wearing the Zav that reminds the Ribbono Shel Olam of the egel azav. Bad idea. Bad idea, says the Gemara. En kateger nasa saneger. However, think about what happens when you bring an egel achatas. You take the egel and you shecht it, and you destroy it, and you get rid of it. So the Achronim say, that's not en kateger nasa saneger. You're taking this the kateger and you're destroying it. You're on the mizbeah. So that's why they say, perhaps, that's not a problem. Yes, Aaron HaKohen, you're going to offer a karban, and somebody's going to ask, how can your karban be from an egel? Isn't that a problem of En Kateger Nasa Saneger? The answer is, yeah, you're right. En Kateger Nasa Saneger is a problem by Aaron HaKohen's clothing, because that's intact. But when you have something that you're doing that's absolutely eradicating and destroying the item, so then, Ein Lecha Kateger Gadol Mizeh, Ein Lecha Saneger Gadol Mizeh, you're actually getting rid of the kateger altogether. Now, that's a very fancy, beautiful teretz. However, that's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says clearly the only reason why it's a problem of En Kateger Nasa Saneger by the Begadim is because it's Lifnai V'Lifnim. The only time we have an issue of En Kateger Nasa Saneger is when you're talking about Avodas Panim, when you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the only time we say the Kohen Gadol has to wear Big Day Lavan. However, when he's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wears the Big Day Zav. So obviously, En Kateger Nasa Saneger, our Gemara says, is only a problem Lifnim. So the whole kasha never gets started. What are you asking a kasha? Aaron HaKohen brings a carbon. And the carbon is made from an eagle. And the eagle is going to remind us of the mistake that Aaron HaKohen made. What do you mean? What kind of kasha is that? It's not Lifnim. It's not Avodas Panim. It's not something we do Lifnai V'Lifnim. And when we're not talking about Lifnai V'Lifnim, there's no problem at all of Enkateger Nasa Saneger. So that, I think, is the simple understanding. So our Gemara clearly assumes that Enkateger Nasa Saneger is only a problem by Avodas Panim, as we mentioned. However, by Avodas Chutz, they would pose no issue at all. We never worry about this problem. However, if that's really the rule, if that's the klal, that Enkateger Nasa Saneger is only by Avodas Panim, the problem is going to be with the following sugya. We have a very famous discussion with regard to Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh. For those who were here last year, Jonah gave a shiur, I think it was Monday night last year, a very important shiur about Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh, Lo Yisa Es Kapav. The Gemara clearly says that a Kohen that is responsible for the death of an individual, so he's not allowed to duchin, because it says, Yadeichem Damim Maleu, your hands are filled with blood, and therefore you are unworthy of now going ahead and using those same hands to duchen. Now, Tosis points out in Yevamos Daf Zayin, what do you mean? A kohen shaharges hanefesh is not allowed to duchen. Tosis writes, he's allowed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so why should he not be allowed to duchen? He's allowed to do the avoda with those very same hands that he killed somebody with. So why is he allowed to duchen? Why is duchening worse? So Tosis says two answers. Number one, Tosis says, there's a chumer yiseir by Nesias Kapayim. Why? That's a very strange answer. Why should there be a chumer yiseir by Nesias Kapayim if avoda is something that's in the Beis HaMikdash, Nesias Kapayim we do in every shul? Why should we be more machmir by Nesias Kapayim than we would by the avoda? So that's a very difficult teretz. But the second teretz Tosis gives is, en kateger nasa saneger. That's the very famous reason that he gives. And this whole issue of karen shahariges hanefesh is discussed by so many poskim in the previous generation. Rav Moshe talks about it, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about it, Rav Avadi Yosef has a very famous tshuva that's mentioned about it, as to what the status is of a soldier nowadays, take for example, who's in the Israeli army, who unfortunately every once in a while has to go ahead and be involved in an act of murder, even though it's justified, even though it's part of a war, but bottom line, it's an act of murder. Are they allowed to come back after the war is over and go ahead and duchen? Or do you say, well, you have blood on your hands. Yedeichem damim maleu. The Gemara tells us that Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh lo yisa es kapav. So this is a major discussion. Rav Soloveitchik felt, absolutely not. You're not allowed to, as we find by David HaMelech, that David HaMelech was told he's not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because he was busy fighting wars his whole life, and therefore he wasn't able to have that great opportunity and that great schus of building the Beis HaMikdash, even though what kind of wars was David HaMelech fighting? They were Mechemes Mitzvah, they were wonderful things. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh, even if it's in the Israeli army, even if he's doing the right thing, still not allowed to do that. So that's a very strong opinion that Rav Soloveitchik put forth. And basically nobody agreed with him at all. Not sure why, but nobody agreed with him. We'll see in a couple of minutes why there were others who had their own reasons why it should be okay. But this is what Rav Soloveitchik felt. I remember I once said this in a shiur, and then I got an email from Eretz Yisrael. And it was a very fascinating email. Because I got an email from Eretz Yisrael that there was somebody who had listened to the shiur online, and he wrote to me that if I follow Rav Soloveitchik's opinion, that's not like Rav Moshe and Rav Avadi and everybody else, Rav Soloveitchik felt that a kohen shaharges hanefesh lo yisa es kapav, even though he's doing it in the context of the Israeli Defense Forces and he's doing it l'shem Mechemes Mitzvah. So this person wrote to me the following. He said he happens to be a sharpshooter in the Israeli army, and he was listening to the shiur, and it made him nervous, because you're a sharpshooter in the army, obviously your job is to go and kill people. So he said, well, if I was the sharpshooter, obviously Rav Soloveitchik was talking to me. But he said there are two partners that always have to work in tandem in order to have a successful sharpshooting experience. One of them has to set up the scope and everything and get everything ready, and then he's the one who says, once everything's ready, he says fire. And the other one doesn't even look, the other one just fires. So he said, I'm not the sharpshooter, I am the scouter, I think it's called. So he wanted to know, what would Rav Soloveitchik say about me? I'm an accomplice to the crime, not crime, I'm an accomplice to the murder, but I'm not really the one who's doing it. But without me, the murderer wouldn't be able to do what he's supposed to do. So he wanted to know, would Rav Soloveitchik say that much of an opinion, that we have to be machmir, even on the person who's only the scouter? I don't know, my father thought it was an interesting question, or my Willick thought it was a ridiculous question, he laughed it off and thought, this is nuts, it's a little too far. He said Rav Soloveitchik's opinion in the first place is a little too extreme. And to take it that far and say even the scouter should be considered a harages hanefesh also, he thought was a little bit too extreme. But my father thought it was an interesting question, and he took it seriously. I don't know. Either way, the Prisha suggests that the only time we have an issue of Kohen Shaharagis HaNefesh Lo Yisa Eskapov is when you have a Kohen Shaharagis HaNefesh Shel HaYisrael, only when he kills a Jew. But when he's involved in the murder of a non-Jew, the Prisha argues that there would be no issue at all of Kohen Shaharagis HaNefesh. Why should that be the case? What, we don't take lives of non-Jews seriously, so why should that be the case? So the Achronim give all sorts of explanations as to why that should be the case, that even though we hold that there's murder by a non-Jew also, obviously, nobody's ever going to deny that there's an Isser Lo Sirtzach for a non-Jew the same way there is for a Jew, but for whatever reason, the Prisha suggests that it only applies, this halach of Karin Shargas HaNefesh, he says Kapav, only applies to a Jew and not to a non-Jew. Anyway, that's one suggestion. If you don't assume like that, because it's a very questionable assumption, if you don't assume like that, so there are some Achronim who suggest the following. The Shulchan Aruch writes, let's say you have a Moel. You have a Moel who's a Kohen, and he's a very experienced Moel, and everybody's using him. Once every million times, a child's going to die from the Bris Milah. Nothing to do with herpes or whatever. Sometimes the Moel, something messes up, and there's a mistake, malpractice, but he does the wrong thing, and the child loses too much blood, and he dies. So what do you have in a case like that? The Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham talk about if you have a Moel, Shaharagas HaNefesh, and he's involved in a Mechemes Mitzvah, in a Dvar Mitzvah. He was doing this because they hired him to be the Moel for the Bris. And he's doing everything that he responsibly should have done. He's not irresponsible, he's not negligent. So in a case like that, or take for another example, a Goal Adam. Goal Adam is when you have someone who's Rotzeach B'Shogeg, so the family member is supposed to go ahead and kill the Rotzeach B'Shogeg before they get to the Ir Miklat. So what happens? I happen to be a Kohen. A family member of mine was Rachmana Litzlan, killed by somebody else. Now the person's on their way to the Ir Miklat. I have an obligation to go ahead and shoot them and kill them before they get to the Ari Miklat. Now I'm nervous. If I go ahead and I fulfill my mitzvah of killing the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, now I'm going to disqualify myself for duchening for the rest of my life. So how am I supposed to do that? So there the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham say, no, when it's in the context of a Dvar Mitzvah, we don't consider you to be a Kohen Shaharagas HaNefesh, and you would be allowed to continue to go ahead and duchen anyway, because that's in the context of a Dvar Mitzvah. So some argue over here as well. When you have a soldier who goes ahead and kills in the context of a Melchemes Mitzvah, assuming that you believe that nowadays the wars that we fight in Eretz Yisrael are for the sake of a Melchemes Mitzvah, so then there would be no issue at all of Kohen Shaharagas HaNefesh Lo Yisa Eskapa, because same way a Mol and a Goal Adam are allowed to continue to duchen, so too a soldier would also be allowed to. Let's save the questions till afterwards, just because we don't have so much time. So that's a suggestion that some give. However, others give such a beautiful suggestion. Tosus says, what's the reason why a Kohen Shaharagas HaNefesh Lo Yisa Eskapa? Tosus says, why? Because Enka Teger Nasa Saneger. Those same hands that went and murdered somebody, now you're going to take them to Yasim Lechashalom, now you're going to offer a bracha to the Jewish people with those same hands. But think about the experience of somebody who's killing out the terrorists. You're going to call him a Kateger or a Saneger? He's a good guy or a bad guy? So what are you going to call him? You point a finger at him and say, oh, Enka Teger Nasa Saneger, look what you just did. I think Rav Moshe is the one who says, Ein lecha saneger gadol mizeh. He's the greatest defender of the Jewish people. So how can you say, no, now you're going to be disqualified from duchening because Ein kateger na saneger. What do you mean? Saneger for saneger. You're the best person that should go ahead and duchen because you're the one who's defending the Jewish people. So therefore, that's why many Achronim suggested that it would not be an issue at all. I was reminded when I saw that comment once of, I think it was Rav Moshe who said, Ein lecha saneger gadol mizeh. I was reminded of a famous kasha that's asked. It's an interesting kasha, but it's asked in the Svarim on Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres. They all quote this kasha from different Achronim. So the Psukim tell us in Parshas Chukas that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he should take water out of the rock. Now, we all know, we're familiar, this is the one, however you understand it, but this is the one, somehow, mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu violated in his life. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him he should speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and he hits the rock. So the Psukim tells him Parshas Chukas that Hashem says, Yan lo hamantam bilak disheni le'eni b'nei Yisrael. Since you chose not to listen to me, it would have been such a Kiddush Hashem had you gone and spoken to the rock and water would have come out. What a Kiddush Hashem would have come out of that. Lachein lo savir sakahal hazeh le'eretz asher nasati lahem. So therefore you're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael as a punishment because of the chil Hashem you created. So the strange thing is that when we have Tfilas Geshem, which most of us don't pay attention to, but you look later in the Machzor or the Siddur, and that's why this kasha shows up on the Svarim on Hilchos Sukkah, or on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, because when we have the Tfilas Geshem, so we say, we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to Yuvas Geshem, and the Schus of this Tzaddik, and the Schus of that Tzaddik, and the Schus of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, and then we say, you should give us Geshem, and the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if I were to highlight, what's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? We would say, well, I would like you to please, God, give us rain in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Nosan HaTorah, who took us out of Mitzrayim, who was the greatest Navi that there ever lived, who was Lokam Yisrael Kamoshe Od. Those are all good reasons why we should evoke the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu to give us rain. However, what does the Paiton write? We ask that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us Mayim. Al Hasela Hach V'yatsu Mayim. You should give us water because Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and water came out. V'tzidko, and in the merit of what Moshe Rabbeinu did, Chon Chashros Mayim. Please give us water because what a great Schus Moshe Rabbeinu did. So the Acharonim ask, what do you mean? We're going to evoke the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu's one mistake that he made in his life, the one avera that Moshe Rabbeinu violated on his level, whatever the pshat is, but Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake here. That's what we're going to mention when we're going and asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for rain? That's what's going to help us? Isn't that a kateger? Isn't that something we should keep far away from our tefillah when we're asking for rain? So that's a kasha many achronim ask. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld is one of the Achronim who discusses it. Many others discuss it as well, but he's one of the ones who discuss it. So he writes as follows. Listen to his lashon. El al karchach, what you have to say is the following. Shebeched zeh, when Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and violated, so to speak, this mistake by hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, masar nafsho al Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very good reason why he did it. What do you mean? Every other time in the Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him to do something, he does it. All of a sudden, one time in his life, God tells him, go talk to the rock, and he says, no, not going to listen, I'm going to go and hit it. What do you think? He didn't have a cheshbon for doing what he did? Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, of course he knew what he was doing. Moshe Rabbeinu yada. Moshe Rabbeinu made the following calculation. He knew, Shem yadaber v'yitin hasela meimav. Let's say he goes over to the rock. And all he does is speaks very politely to the rock and says, Rakala, could you please give out some water? And the rock says, sure. And all of a sudden, water starts flowing out. So Moshe Rabbeinu knows that if he's going to do that, Sela zila olam yiyah kitrug al Yisrael. This Sela is always going to be used as a kitrug against the Jewish people. Why? Shema Sela ze eino shamea ve'eno medaber ve'eno mekabel schar ve'onesh. A rock is an inanimate object. A rock is not something that's mitzuvah in anything. A rock doesn't get schar ve'onesh. Va'afilu hachi, and even so, even though there's no schar ve'onesh, and even though there's no feelings and there's no personality in the rock, ose mitzvah Hashem ba'amira b'li haka. The rock automatically listens right away to what the Ribbono Shel Olam told the rock to do, without being hit. Mikol sheken Yisrael sheshomen umedabrim umekablim schar ve'onesh kol sheken ve'kavah chomer sheyir lahem l'shma l'mitzvah Hashem. This would have been used as a kitruk against us forever. Look at this rock, even an inanimate object, a rock on the ground, that has no purpose in life other than to be a rock. Even that listens to the Ribbono Shel Olam just by the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking to the rock that's good enough to get the rock to do what it's supposed to do. And you, the Jewish people, who understand the concept of Schar Ba'onesh, and you, the Jewish people, who are supposed to be Ose Devaro, you're not going to listen to him? So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. How can I do this? This is going to be the greatest kitruk against the Jewish people. V'yada Moshe she'Yisrael am k'she yoref. He knows that the Jewish people are a difficult nation. V'im lo she'yakem Hashem lo yishmu b'kolo. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that unless the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and sends us a grum and sends us a tragedy, he actually hits us. If we don't have that, we're not going to do what he asks us to do. We're not going to listen just by reading the Psukim and the Chumash and listening to the voice of Hashem. We need more than that to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. Lachain, and therefore he makes the following calculation. Masar nafsho aleihem v'amar. Moshe Rabbeinu gives up his own life. He knows that he's challenging God, and he knows that he might be punished for it, and he knows that something bad might come about. But he says, "Mutav sheyitla Hakadosh Baruch Hu hasirchon bi." He says, "I would prefer that the Ribbono Shel Olam would blame me and punish me." Ach lo yiyah tamid kitrug al Yisrael, in order that I should save the Jewish people from having a kitrug on them forever. And therefore, vihika hatsur v'nasa memo. And therefore, he chose to hit the rock instead of speaking to it, and then the rock gave water. Ukazei Yisrael nami osim kishayakem Hashem chalila. And he said, well, that's going to be the same. When the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and, so to speak, hits the Jewish people, of course we're going to listen also, the same way the rock listened. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did it. That was his cheshbon. So here says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Can you imagine the Madrega Imkein Chazinan Tzidkuso Shemaser Nafsho Ba'adam Kadosh? You see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, how much he was willing to give up of himself for the sake of the Jewish people. So answers of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. How can you say, don't mention the story, the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu in your tefillah, because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. Ein Lecha Neger Gadol Mizeh. Ein Lecha Saneger Gadol Mizeh. We have nobody who's out to save the Jewish people more than the act that Moshe Rabbeinu just did. The whole reason why he did what he did was because he wanted to save us. So what are you going to say? We shouldn't evoke his chus in our davening because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? That's the greatest Saneger that ever existed. Look how much he was willing to forfeit of his own life for the sake of the Jewish people, to put himself on the line. And that, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, is perhaps the reason why Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger would not apply there. And it reminded me of what Ramosha writes, that when you have a Kohen Sheharges HaNefesh in the context of a Melchemes Mitzvah, in the context of perhaps killing a terrorist, we would assume you can't say Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger there. Ein Lecha Saneger Gadol Mizeh, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu, look how much he's putting on the line for us. How can you disqualify him from Nesias Kapayim? How can you disqualify Moshe Rabbeinu from our tefillah? Ein Lecha Saneger Gadol Mizeh, and therefore Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger would not be applicable at all. Now, the problem with all this beautiful Shtikl Torah about everything is that it's very nice that Tosas says Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger is the reason why a Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh La'isa is Kapa, but I beg your pardon, do we only do Nesias Kapayim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? No. We do Nesias Kapayim in Eretz Yisrael in every shul. And we're supposed to do it in Chutz La'aretz also. Question why we don't. Famous Aruch HaShulchan, B'Shem de Vilna Gaon, not really clear why we don't. However, we don't do it in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael we do it every day. And we don't do it only in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't do it only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Our Gemara says the only time Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger plays a role is when we're talking about a situation where it's Lifnai V'Lifnim, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how does Tosas suggest that the reason why a Kohen Sheharges HaNefesh Lo Yisa Es Kapov is because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? What do you mean? This is not Lifnai V'Lifnim. The rule shouldn't apply at all. Okay, is the question clear? So that's the kasha that is very bothersome. So the Achronim say the following teretz. The Achronim say the teretz is as follows. There are two dinim, like any good Achronish Shabshat, there are tzvei dinim in Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. There's two different halachas that we're talking about here. One is when you have something which is not the Cheftza Shel Aveira itself. For example, when we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and we're thinking about wearing our big day Zahav, is the Kohen Gadol wearing the Zav that they actually used a few thousand years ago for the Egel? No. He's using something which resembles, it gives some sort of association to something that took place a very long time ago. That's one kind of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. You have other situations where you have the Cheftza Shel Aveira itself. For example, Kohen Sheharges HaNefesh. Those hands, it's not that these hands remind us and has association to something else bad that took place. These hands are the Cheftza Shel Aveira. These hands are the ones that were involved in the murder of a person. In a case like that, we say, when you're dealing with the Cheftza Shel Aveira itself, we say, Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger will play a role even if you're outside. Even if you're outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger is something to think about even then. However, he say, however the Achronim say, when we're talking about something that's not a direct Cheftza Shel Aveira, it's only something that resembles, that has some sort of semblance to an Egel Azav that took place so long ago, so then we only care about that when you're Lifnai V'Lifnim. Why is that? Because when you're in a hypersensitive place, like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you have to have hypersensitivities. And you have to have a hypersensitivity even about something that even only resembles in a very small way something that took place thousands of years ago. You have to have a heightened sensitivity because you're in a highly sensitive place. But when we're talking about outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Kedusha is not as highly sensitive, highly concentrated as it is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, then go ahead, wear the big day Zav. You're not putting on the gold that they use for the Egel HaZav, you're putting on something that only resembles an Avera that took place so long ago. When you're not in a highly sensitive place, you don't have to have a hypersensitivity either. And therefore, we assume there would be two different halachos when it comes to Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. One is when you have something which only resembles a Maisa Aveira, and one is something where it's the Cheftza Shel Aveira itself, and in a case of the Cheftza Shel Aveira itself, we would assume you have to even be careful outside of the confines of the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. And perhaps this is the understanding why Tosas says that by Nesias Kapayim we would say Kohen Sheharges HaNefesh, even though the Kohen is only doing Nesias Kapayim mibachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, still we would say, en kateger nasas haneger is something that we have to keep in mind. There are mefarshim on Chumash that ask, in Parshas Chukas, we're told about the Parah Aduma. So there, the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is told to Elazar and not to Aaron HaKohen. You look in the Psukim. Why is that? So Rashi and the mefarshim there explain, because Since Aaron HaKohen was involved in the Chet HaEgel, therefore he shouldn't be the one to be involved in the Parah Aduma. Why? Because Parah Aduma is to be mechaper on the Egel. Okay. But is the Parah Aduma something that was performed lifnai v'lifnim? No. So again, we come back to our question. How come over there, when the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is given, why is it given specifically to Elazar and not to Aaron? So you'll say, because Enketeger Nasa Saneger. Aaron is the one who made the mistake with the Egel. We don't want him involved in the Parah Aduma. Why not? Why not? It's not Avodas Panim. Parah Aduma doesn't have to be done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why should Enketeger Nasa Saneger play a role there? And the answer is the very same. Because here we're talking about Aaron HaKohen. Here we're talking about Aaron HaKohen. His hands were the ones that were actively involved. We're not talking about something that's going to remind us of something else. We're talking about the Chefza, so to speak, the Chefza Shalaveira, if we can call Chalila Aaron HaKohen that. But that's the way the Acharonim explain it. Over here we're dealing with Aaron HaKohen himself. He was involved in the Egel, and therefore the Psukim tell us Parah Aduma was given specifically to Elazar and not to Aaron, because he is the one who was involved. I did see something fascinating a bunch of years ago that I never would have thought of on my own, but I think it's a beautiful insight. We're told in Parshas Bereishis that Adam and Chava make a mistake. And after Adam and Chava make a mistake, all of a sudden they realize that they're naked, and they realize they don't have clothing on. So the pasuk says, "Vayispru alei te'ena, vayasu lahem chaguros." The Ribbono Shel Olam goes ahead and makes them clothing. He's the Malbish Arumim. Rashi says over there, why were the clothing made specifically out of alei te'ena? Why were they made out of alei te'ena? Why couldn't they be made out of some other kind of plant or tree? So Rashi says, alei te'ena is because hu ha'eid she'achlu mimenu. Because the whole mistake of the Eitz Hadas that they made was because they ate from the te'ena tree. So now the Ribbono Shel Olam decided, well, that was your mistake, so this is the way we're going to be misaking it. I'm going to make you clothing specifically out of the te'ena. B'davar sheniskal kulubo, the item which they used to make the mistake, that's what you should use, niskanu. That's the way you're going to make up for the mistake that you had already previously made. So, I saw the kasha asked by Reb Simcha Zisel Broyd in his Sefer on Chumash, I think it's called Sam Derech. So he has there on Chumash, either it's in Parshas Bereishis, I think it's where I saw it, or it's in one of these other cases where the Chumash dabbles with the issue of Enketeger Nasas Haneger. He says, these would seem to be two principles that don't seem to get along with one another. On the one hand, you tell me there's a rule, Enketeger Nasas Haneger. You shouldn't get involved. If you have something that reminds you of a mistake, you shouldn't be the one to fix it. At the same time, Rashi tells us the other rule is, B'davar sheniskal kulubo, the thing that you made a mistake with, that's what you should use to make up for the mistake, to be mechaper on the mistake. So when do we use one principle and when do we not? When do we say en kateger nasas haneger? And when do we say that b'davar sheniskal kulubo niskanu? That's the kasha that he asked. So I think he gives a very beautiful teretz. He says, when a person comes to be involved in avodas Hashem, when a person comes to perform any mitzvah, so then we say, Enka Teger Nasa Saneger. You don't want other things being involved. You don't want to be reminded of terrible events that took place in your life. So therefore, Karin Shargas HaNefesh, don't get involved in a Siyas Kapayim. When we have a shofar, you have a shofar that's going to remind us of the shofar of the mistake that they made, we don't want that either. Big Day Zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we don't want that. However, he says, when you have an Adam Bein Ola Bein Atzmo, when you have a person for themselves who's doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh, Adam and Chav are living alone in the world. What's the greatest way to remind them that you have to do tshuva for the mistake that you made? You know what's the greatest way? Make your clothing out of a te'ena. This way, everywhere you go, you're going to be reminded of the fact that you made a mistake of te'ena, that you ate from the Eitz Hadas, and you have to do tshuva for the mistake that you made, for the avera that you violated. There, says Reb Simcha Zisel Broyd, that's how you jive these two klalim together. On the one hand, yes, it's true, en kateger nasa saneger, that's just by mitzvah observances. However, when it comes to a person's individual avoda, when it comes to my own cheshbon hanefesh, my own tshuva, the greatest thing I could do for myself as a chesed to myself is to always constantly remind myself of the fact that I've made mistakes. I always have to keep tshuva in my mind. I always have to keep my averus in mind and remind myself what it is that I have to do, which steps I need to take in order to properly come to a tshuva. I'll call upon him. The problem is, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Hilchos Yom Kippur, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that the minhag is that we don't wear tachshitin on Yom Kippur. We don't wear jewelry on Yom Kippur. Why? Because Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. It's going to remind us of the jewelry that we dedicated, that we donated to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sorry, to the Egel. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says on Yom Kippur, the same way that Kohen Gadol doesn't wear Big Days of Lifnim, so too we shouldn't wear tachshitin when we come to Shul. So the kasha is, why is that true? Why is Rabbi Kiva Eger extending the rule of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? We said before, there's one halacha that Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger applies even by Avodas Chutz, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but only when it's a Chepsa Shalabra. My earrings, my necklace, my diamond ring, that's something that is a Chepsa Shalavera? No, of course not. It's not a part of what was given to the Egel Azav. So why does Rabbi Kiva Eger extend the halacha and say that when we go to shul, in Chutz Laretz, in our own shuls, we're not supposed to be wearing tachshitin on Yom Kippur because Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Why should that be the case? What? Rabbi Kiva Eger says... Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't distinguish, doesn't differentiate. So that's the question. Why should we extend the halacha of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? So I believe the answer... Right, but Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't say that. So you can answer perhaps based on a drasha that the Beis HaLevi gives. Beis HaLevi has in one of his drushas on Chumash that, like our Gemara says, shofar is lezikaron ka'asi, even though the shofar is blown in all of our shuls, but since the shofar is lezikaron ka'asi, therefore we consider it kilifnim dami, and therefore we have to be more machmer by shofar than by other things. So the Beis HaLevi says along those lines that tefillah also we say is kilifnim dami. If shofar is considered kilifnim dami, tefillah is our communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. It's like you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says the Beis HaLevi. And when you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to be careful that everything is going to be picture perfect. Everything has to be exactly the way it's supposed to be, without any problems at all. And perhaps that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger means to tell us. Now, why does Rabbi Kiva Eger only say it on Yom Kippur and no other time? Not sure. Heightened sensitivity, but then that kills the whole vart. Right? So I don't know, because we're trying to say that this is like lifnai v'lifnim, you have to have a heightened sensitivity whenever you're davening. So the Beis HaLevi says that whenever you're davening, it's considered kilifnim dami. And this is a comment that Rabbi Yehiel Apyan used to make as well. He said, if you consider your tefillah to be kilifnim dami, then think about the fact, or even if it's not kilifnim dami, take for example, let's just extend Rabbi Yehiel Apyan. He said, a person speaks lashon hara with their mouth, a person speaks rechilas with their mouth, that's the same mouth, Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger, that's the same mouth that you now want to use to offer your tefillah. How are you able to do that? Even forgetting kilifnim dami, even forgetting hypersensitivity, you might be the chetzah shel aveir. Your mouth is the one, like yedechem dam maleo, like the kohen who went ahead and murdered someone. He can't use those same chetzah shel aveir hands to go and do the nesias kapayim. So I asked Rabbi Yehiel Apyan, how can we go ahead and use the very same mouth that we talk rechilas and lashon hara and all the aveiros that we do? How can we use that same chetzah shel aveir, so to speak, to go ahead and offer a tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Whether or not you accept the chiddush of the Beis HaLevi, or you assume like Rabbi Yehiel Apyan that perhaps even when it's kilachutz dami, still you have to be worried about the chepsa shel aveira. Either way, it's something to think about. When we talk about Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger, it's not strictly a halacha for a kohen shehargas hanefesh, and it's not strictly something that applies to the kohen gadol in avodas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's something to think about here as well. When we have our tefillah, to consider the fact that we should make sure that our mouths are also not considered to be a chepsa shel aveira, because then we would pose a problem also of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger.